Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Bridgerton Season 3, Episode 3, Forces of Nature.
Yeah, it's starting to get fun, people.
It's already been fun.
It's been fun, but it's getting funner, let's put it that way.
Sure.
We have our usual, and it's going to be caveats today, which include that we have, but there's going to be cursing. There will be... not necessarily spoilers, but just, you know, discussions.
Spoilers for the book, spoilers for part one of season three.
Right. So if you haven't watched it, you probably should.
You definitely should.
We are also having things to drink. What are you having to drink, Emma?
I am having what I am calling a passion cocktail. Or passionate dream cocktail. I have not decided on the name. Either way, some of you who are consistent listeners may have figured out that I am just kind of layering things on top of each other at this point. I started the season out with just plain Prosecco. Last episode, I added strawberry mix to the Prosecco. Now I'm adding passion fruit and strawberry mix to the Prosecco, which is giving me the passionate dream cocktail.
I like passion dream. That's a good choice. I like that.
Yes, I thought so too. And I will be adding even more in the next episode.
Right, because
passion is building. Because we were adding like some romance in the last episode. Now we're adding some passion.
Yeah, there we go. Well, I wanted to do a cocktail at least once this season because we are having Francesca as the girl who plays piano. And this is, again, out of the Regency Book of Drinks. It's called A Composition for Pianoforte. First off, it has weird ingredients, some of which I didn't have. I looked up substitutes for them. It calls for 2 ounces of Madeira. I used Marsala, a 1/2 ounce of Curacao, 1.5 ounces of grapefruit juice, 1/4 ounce of lemon juice, a bar spoon of absinthe, which I do have because I'm weird. And ice cold seltzer. But then it goes through this incredibly elaborate thing you are supposed to do with ice that I did not do. Maybe it would taste, I mean, it's fine. It's just not like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It is kind of citrusy, but it's a little bit dry. It's kind of hard to explain. But it says first of all, you're supposed to have like a grapefruit wheel and stuff like that, which I don't have. But then it talks about you've got to decorate the highball glass with the wheel of grapefruit, fill it nearly to the top with rocks, cracked from a solid ice block or 1-inch ice cubes or a frozen sphere of ice. Combine the Madeira, Curacao, grapefruit juice, lemon juice, and absinthe in the basic cocktail shaker. Add a medium-sized ice shard, lightly smashed into bits, or one or two cubes of ice close to the shaker and whip until the ice is nearly all melted. Add about 2 ounces of seltzer to the shaker, then empty its contents, including any lingering ice, into the glass. If it doesn't rise nearly to the glass rim, add no more than about 1 ounce of additional seltzer. So I probably have more seltzer and ice in here than I should have because I couldn't pay attention to all the ice directions. It's fine. It's not my favorite. I like it better than the Thunderclap.
I like mine.
I like the Wizard of Oz.
Sorry, that's a Christmas Story reference that we often reference in this house.
It's a thing. But in any case, we are getting down to it. Season 3, Episode 3, Forces of Nature.
Let's get started with Season 3, Episode 3, Forces of Nature. I always introduce the episode mother. Anyway.
A little rigid, aren't you?
A little what?
Rigid.
Oh, I thought you meant
meaning inflexible.
Sure. OCD. So Colin is going to the Garden Arch again to meet with Penelope, and there's fog everywhere, which denotes something in a minute.
He
tells her that he hasn't been able to think, sleep, eat, which is a big thing for Colin in the books.
Yes.
Oh,
he's not a big eater on the show.
No, he talks about eating. He just doesn't really do it because the actors want him to eat in every scene, which I appreciate.
Because he's in good shape.
Yes. And he says he can't stop thinking about their kiss. And she's like, me either. And then they just start making out. And it's very, very hot and passionate. And she's like moaning his name, all of that stuff. Like, they don't go all the way, obviously. Mom, stop. So they're not going all the way, but they are making out pretty passionately. And then Colin wakes up. It was all a dream. And He is in a cold sweat and he's like, oh shit. Well, now I'm falling in love and
Yeah.
now I'm screwed. Anyway, the family the next morning is having breakfast in the drawing room. Benedict
This
talks
is really
to
kind of funny.
Gregory, who has now has like an
A
injured
sling,
shoulder
yeah.
or arm or
Yeah,
something
his arm's in a sling.
because he fell off of a roof tree or something high when he was
Space
trying to
has
get
a
a
roof.
when he was trying to get a good look at the balloon that's coming in for an exhibition at the Innovators Festival, something or other. And stop. And
I
Colin,
don't get to talk. I should do something.
Mom, I'm getting there. Colin slept in late, and Benedict notes this as he comes in, and he was just like, "Oh, did you not get any sleep last night?" And Colin's like, "No, I as soon as I went, to, as soon as my head hit the
He
pillow, I went to sleep actually,
over-explains.
and I didn't have any dreams." And Benedict's
Yeah.
like, "Congratulations!"
Yeah, this is a bit awkward. And Hyacinth comes up, and I really like this about her. She's like, look, I wanted to tell you that was really kind of cool what you did for Penelope.
Because
And
Hyacinth's a real one.
she is a real one. I do love Hyacinth, in every way.
Yes.
But Hyacinth says that Colin's like, well, thanks. She's been a friend
Yes,
to the
we are
family,
friends.
a
We're
friend,
acquaintances,
acquaintances,
actually.
that kind of thing.
We're not
Because
even friends. We're acquaintances.
it's super defensive, weird, and they're all kind of like, what the fuck is going on with Colin? But in any case, we then and Benedict even says, are you all right?
Are you
It's very funny. We see the setup for the balloon exhibition. Queen Charlotte wants a good suitor for Francesca, since she's chosen Francesca as her sparkler. Lady Danbury suggests Lord Debling, which of course gives us a whole bunch of exposition about Lord Debling, who is apparently a vegetarian
naturalist?
naturalist, whatever. And Lady Danbury also mentions that she's expecting an unwanted guest. Then we start to hear the whistle down voiceover talking about the higher one flies, the further they can fall, talking about Francesca. We then go to the Featheringtons. And this is hilarious because Philippa is confused about pregnancy. Like, she doesn't know that the baby grows in her own body. And her mom's kind of like, oh, yours is going to come with a golden stork. Sure, that's fine.
That's how that works.
Then
Yeah.
Penelope gets a visitor.
And it's Eloise.
Yeah.
I would like to note while watching the end of the last episode, me and my dad were assuming that the person who was coming so late at night was Eloise. We were very wrong.
I knew it was going to be Colin.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I absolutely knew it was going to be
but
Colin.
I didn't think to have my hopes up so high. And so now I can have my hopes
No.
through the roof. Anyway.
Yes.
So Eloise says, well, yeah, it hurts to have Lady Whistledown talk about you. And Penelope's like, yes, I know that because I did it and I felt bad both times. So Eloise, that is not news to me. And Eloise says, well, Lady Whistledown was a bit harsh. And Penelope's like, yeah, well, I couldn't show favoritism, could I? Like, I couldn't. That's the whole reason I had to expose you, because I couldn't show favoritism and make it seem like you were Lady Whistledown. Like, that was the whole purpose.
Yeah.
And
Then
she
she apologizes for
Eloise
herself.
says that spreading the rumor was not intentional. It wasn't malicious anyway. And I mean, you can't
Well,
say
it's
it
her.
wasn't intentional,
It
but
wasn't intentional. And she does say that. She's like, I apologize. I didn't want that. And Penelope even says, like, I wouldn't blame you if it wasn't. She's like, it wasn't. But you can tell they're both still hurt. It still feels awkward.
yeah.
Penelope wants to like offer her books. And you can't, we just like try to be friends. She doesn't say those words.
No.
And Eloise is like, no, I gotta go.
I gotta go meet a
Meeting a friend.
friend.
But she says, I do wish you the best. I hope you
Yes.
find what you're looking for, which is growth on the part of
Yes, it
Eloise.
is. So Penelope is promenading on her own with her maid, and she sees Colin, who meets her under a willow tree
Oh, I
to.
love this. It's Snape style. Snape and
Lily?
Lily hiding under the willow and having a little conversation.
Pussy.
Ew.
Anyway, Pussy
Ew.
Willow. Sorry,
Sorry. I know, but
the
it's
same thing
what's wrong with
at all.
you?
Gross. Word association. Sorry.
Ew.
Ignore it. Anyway, you can edit that out if you really wanted to. Anyway, they
It won't
talk.
be edited out of my brain, just saying.
It will always be there, right here. Anyway, they meet under the willow tree to talk privately because that's the only privacy they're ever going to get. even though that's not true. She says they can't. He apologizes for not coming to see her sooner. It's clearly been like a week or so, and he.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like, he's been out of society for a week. That had been mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and also, and so Colin hasn't gone to see her after this huge kiss, and he hasn't been able to like. He keeps dreaming about it and all that stuff, and so it's clearly it's adorable, and so he's very, very awkward around her. And so she says, oh, well, we can't continue lessons. And he's like, why? And
he doesn't exactly say that. He's like, oh, sure, get away.
But what's the reason exactly? It's not because of what we did, right? And she's like, oh, no, 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 it's not. Of course it's not about that. But
I'll never do that again.
But that's never going to happen again, right? And he's just like, yeah, no. And he's like, I'm sorry that that happened. She's like, oh, I'm sorry for asking. And he's like, oh, don't be. And she's like, what?
Yeah, there's a lot of awkward going on here.
And so she says it's best if they actually keep their distance because of the whole rumor thing going on. She doesn't want it to seem like he's still doing it and ruin his family's reputation along with her own. She just doesn't want him to be involved, really.
Yeah.
He says he wishes for her happiness, and she thanks him for his all this help. And she's like, if I do find a suitor this year, it will be because of your help.
Yes, it's
true.
True. We're so happy.
Spoiler. True.
Spoiler. Absolutely true.
At a party later on, at a soiree, Debling is staring at some heads of
stags. Yeah.
And is looking at them with pity. He is one, apparently.
And we failed to know. Colin wishes her happiness.
I did say that.
I'm sorry.
And then everyone's talking around Debling, and they're just like, oh yeah, he's kind of weird, but he's the most eligible bachelor really this season. He has a lot of money, and so, but he's just a naturalist, and
Chris's mom is basically like, Krusty, you need to marry this guy because otherwise your father's gonna cut us off, you know, we're gonna have to find you a husband because your dad keeps like cutting our budget for these things, so you know, we can't just keep going out in society like this. We see Penelope basically going to hide in the corner after she arrives.
Because Portia says to keep a low profile.
Right. The Bridgertons arrive. Eloise tries to explain to Colin that she apologized to Penelope. And he's like, yeah, sure, great, bye.
Yeah, the funny thing is she's just like, I talked to Penelope. And he's like, huh? What'd she say? Huh? And he's assuming it's something about him. And she's just like, no, I just apologized for what happened. And he's like, oh, okay, then that has nothing to do with me, Eloise. Why the fuck did you bring it up? And then he walks away.
Like, people are not picking up on this. I will say the person who picks up on it first is Violet, which is
we'll talk about that later. That's later this episode. Yeah. And Lady Danbury talks to Francesca, and she mentions that the queen will probably eventually introduce Francesca to one of the suitors that she has in mind, who's higher ranking than any of these like lowly lords trying to vie for her affection down here.
Yes.
And so she should just wait. But Violet says, well, yeah, that's kind of what happened with the prince and Daphne that first season. However, you want to marry for love, not for just convenience of a higher title. Follow your heart. Right. And Francesca's like, oh, I trust the queen. I'll just go with whoever she chooses. And Francesca, which is a shame because Francesca shouldn't settle.
Yeah, no, but I think she's just wanting someone else to make this decision for her. She doesn't want to do it, but she doesn't. Yeah, she doesn't want to participate, really.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that, I'm sorry.
If it was the prince, I wouldn't blame her for just being like, I want to be with the prince.
Maybe that's what she's thinking. He's like, prince.
See, there was nothing wrong with the prince in the first season. At least for, like, the other people who are, like, the newer potential love interests for these seasons. It's like, there's always something a little bit off about them. But they're a nice enough option, but they're not quite right.
No. This is actually getting better. This drink is getting better as the ice melts.
It
does. Well, so then we go to
some men.
Penelope. Yeah,
men.
Penelope is that there are two guys there, and they basically openly laughed at her. It's like, oh, you're looking for somebody else to like
looking for a new conquest. It's like, whoa. No.
Yeah, it's really ugly.
The fuck are you talking about?
And they just walk away. We then see the Mondrishes show up in the new clothes. I wanted to point out, and I should have done it, and I didn't because I really do find this subplot really boring. there is a gaping, gaping, gaping hole in this whole thing, which is that the aunt dies and then their son becomes the Baron. That is not how the laws of succession work in England. It would be the aunt's husband, the uncle, would die. He is the title holder. He is the Baron. So whenever he died, the title should have passed to the male heir, whoever the male heir was. So that we don't even know when that guy died. So this title's just been
maybe
like,
they died at the same time. Murder, suicide.
Yeah, but we don't,
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have mentioned that. Trigger warning, sorry.
Well, yeah, we have like 6 months of being married. Really,
I'm sorry.
I'm not into the trigger warning thing, so whatever. If you've been listening to this show,
we watched
Game of Thrones. Come on, people. So anyway, I still
shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry.
Anyway, so but that is a gaping hole to me, like all of us. And I think part of the reason I find this subplot ham-handed a little bit is that kind of let's shoehorn in, oh yeah, these working class people are now in the title class. It's like, what? And I get why they're trying to keep Will and Alice as part of the show, because they are like nice and they're compelling and they are a different
if I'm being honest,
I don't think we need them.
I feel they're nice enough, but I don't need a full-on subplot with them. They're not taking up tons of time, which makes it palatable.
And they're lovely.
And they're great actors and all that stuff. They're nice to look at as well. All that's great. But I don't care. But also I think that subplot would have been more suited for a Benedict season.
Could be. Yeah.
Because that has more to do with the working class.
Yeah, it does. That's probably true. That's
so with them being the way they are now, I'm just like, why are you doing this now?
Yeah,
like, what does this have to anything? There is no contribution to Penelope's season. And absolutely, if I'm being honest, spoiler alert for the books and potentially probably the show as well, because we've already seen a teaser trailer for part two.
Mm-hmm.
The queen is going to like have a challenge to find Lady Whistledown for a reward.
Mm-hmm.
And in the books it was Lady Danbury, but it's now the queen, which makes sense. And so there's going to be a hefty reward for those who find Lady Whistledown. I think that would be a perfect thing for Will and Alice to have like a mini subplot of, oh, we're looking for Lady Whistledown too. Instead of it being like, oh, we're already rich, so why does it fucking matter? Like, yeah. Okay, like I don't care. And yeah. So I just feel like they're just there to be there and to wear pretty costumes, even though you could just focus on literally anybody else, but fine.
Ugh.
You could put a little bit more effort into any other subplot at all, because there's another subplot that comes up in this episode that could use a little bit more time.
But anyway. We're going to get to that too. So here we go. Colin and Alice are discussing his helping Penelope.
But she can't stop looking at her, and Alice is the first one to notice this shit.
but she says, look, you know, I'm sure that she will do well because you've given her this help. And what she doesn't understand is how the rules work. It's like, now it's actually kind of hurting her that people know this. Benedict is actively avoiding girls.
Using Lady Danbury as a human shield.
Exactly. And she's like, well, now you got to take me for a turn around the room. He's like, okay.
I love it.
And it's cute.
So Devlin comes up to Penelope and they are openly talking about how they don't like this party.
And they're hiding. It's so cute. This conversation
is
so
really
well written.
It is really, really cute. Well done. And they're talking about how they feel like prey with all these predators around, and it obviously has something to do with this naturalist stuff. But it's a very funny scene of them going back and forth and them seeing a kinship in each other, of feeling cornered.
Yeah.
And he openly admits, "Oh, I don't read Lady Whistledown. Did she say something about you?" And she's just like, "Well, yeah. I'm kind of glad you don't know about Lady Whistledown, because then I won't have to tell you about it."
Like such a decent, honest guy. Yeah. I really like that about him. He's like a real suitor, like not somebody who's awful.
Yeah, but also I still prefer the prince. Anyway, Devlin's fine, but he's
you're
no
not gonna
prince.
Have the prince as a suitor.
I know, but either way. So
not because Penelope doesn't deserve it, but because
no,
that would screw up the whole plot.
Exactly. That is true. So he tells Penelope that he likes how refreshingly frank she is about everything, about how she's like, yeah, no, enjoy my social contagion. I am in this corner and no one will come in within like 10 feet of me. Welcome to my bubble. It's very funny.
She also explains what she had done. She had asked for help from an eligible bachelor, and he's like, well, good for you. Well,
good for you for trying.
Yeah, exactly. You're
we
different.
Love to see some efforts.
We like the fact that you're different. And
you noticed
really
something was off, and you wanted to make it right.
I love that about him.
She asked he's for really help. And he likes that. Mm-hmm. And I like that he likes that. I like that he's not like, well, who was the eligible bachelor? He's more just like, oh, that's great that your friend was able to help you with that. I'm mm-hmm. sorry that it ended up like this, but hey, maybe I'll get you all to myself. And yeah, so sweet. Colin watches on jealously, which I love.
Yeah, that's great.
Because after season upon season of Penelope just like so jealous of any interaction he has had with another woman, except for his family, he's finally getting a taste of his own medicine, and I love it. There's a great moment later on. I will talk about them. Cressida tells Eloise that she has her sights. This is later. This is like the next day. They're on a promenade. Cressida tells Eloise she has her sights set on Debling, even though she doesn't care about nature. And
yeah, because Eloise is kind of like, wait a minute.
You don't like that.
Animals. And she's like, I love birds.
And she's like, don't tell him that. And I do like Eloise in this episode.
She has like zero ability to read the room.
But I like that Eloise is paired now with somebody who can read the room even less, and so she's noticing it even more.
Yeah.
And so they are walking along, and Eloise is like, yeah, don't, and even though like Penelope has her sights set on him, and everyone has noticed thus far, Cressida is like, oh, she's no match for me. He'll want like, me more.
I'm amazing.
And Eloise is like, don't underestimate Penelope. She has power within her.
And Cressida's like, so do I.
Cressida basically knows in her heart that she will only get support from her family if she marries. And she wants that to happen quickly so that she's not miserable.
Yeah.
And Eloise is like, okay, fine. I'll get you some books about natural history. It will help you, all that stuff. Which is a nice friendly thing to do.
Right.
She's anyway,
a good friend.
Back at the Featherington house.
Hang on. So Lady Featherington makes the girls drink this concoction that looks like polyjuice potion. And both of them, you know, afterwards want to vomit. It's supposed to help make them get pregnant, whatever. We see Queen Charlotte. She talks to some guy about the balloon. We later find out that the guy is the one that she wants Francesca to
have. And he just goes,
He's kind of meh. Mm-hmm. So Penelope then,
it's not that he's not attractive, it's just that he's not the prince.
Right. Well, he's just not a conversational guy anyway. So Penelope arrives at the expedition. She's looking around, she sees Colin, they make eye contact, and she kind of like gives a little head thing, like, let's go over here.
I want to mention this moment because I rewound it and I find it very funny. It's these little things that Benedict does that just kill me every time. It's the brush thing from season two. It's this. So him and Colin are having more like a one-sided conversation. Benedict's talking to Colin, and Colin is distracted by looking at Penelope, who's trying to summon him over to a sweets tent. Mm-hmm. And Colin just cuts off Benedict. He's just like, I'll see you in a minute. And then, all that Benedict says is, right. Yeah, right. Like, you're just going to ignore me like everyone else ignores me. Okay, fine. Thanks, Colin. Bye.
Clearly, I'm unimportant.
I don't get any of the details, the dirty little secrets, and now I'm just being ignored.
Right. So there, Colin and Penelope are in the suites tent. Penelope talks to Colin about Lord Debling. She buys a roll, and she licks the sugar off of her lips and her finger, and he is just, like, obsessed.
Mesmerized.
With this movement. And she's like, what, do I have sugar on me? He's like, No, it's not.
It would be more corny if he like pretended there was so that he could put his finger on her lips.
Anyway, so Colin wishes for luck with Lord Debling, but you can tell that it's
half-hearted,
very distracted. Cressida then zeroes in on Lord Debling, and they talk about the fact that he is constantly going on these journeys, in part because he wants to escape his family. He hates his family. He wants to forge his own path. Which, again, I respect. Cressida can sympathize with that. And you can understand that based on what we are going to be seeing in other parts of this this season. Penelope heads their way and then realizes Cressida is there and is like, shit.
And she's being respectful, she's about to walk away. But then Debling sees her and then he's forcing her to join the conversation.
Right. And so Penelope... and Eloise are kind of like making eye contact while Cressida is flirting about the great auk. The great auk.
I thought it was the great hawk.
No, it's the great auk, Natalie. Read some books on naturalism.
Okay.
So, but they are nearly extinct, and they talk about how they mate for life, and they both say, Debling and Cressida both say, oh, that's very touching.
Penelope.
They clearly have some kind of connection.
There's something,
but it's like genuine,
right? But it's not. But it's not at the level that he seems to have with Penelope. So right. Penelope is like, well, you know, even regular birds are good, like swallows, you know, like sparrows or whatever.
I swear, if they said swallow, that'd be fucking hilarious.
Well, so, but meanwhile, Colin's kind of watching this, and he's talking to these guys, and the guys are making fun of him for helping Penelope. He's like, "Oh, I'm that's not happening anymore." The Mondriches are there. Will talks to Alice about missing his club, and they talk about how, hey, let's just not go to the ball tonight. Yay.
Let's go, like, just take care of our club because we fuck the rules.
Yeah. Then we have Benedict. Benedict is trying to avoid the mamas again and the girls. And so he ducks into a tent that is a lecture, essentially, about the balloon. And he thinks it's all going to be men. And so he starts making comments about, at least we don't find any mamas in here. And he's saying it to
a woman.
Oh my. Who is offended.
Beautiful.
She's oh God, she's gorgeous. And so she's like, what? You didn't think women would be in here? And she makes this big speech about balloons and
how she loves engineering
technology and blah, blah, blah.
And how we need to be progressive and all that stuff, which is great. Good for her. Woman in STEM.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've seen so many like different memes about that. It's like women in STEM.
Absolutely. She basically tells the men off, and Benedict's a bit humiliated by
but
it.
Impressed.
But he's like, I like to talk about people's passions. And she's like,
passion.
Okay.
Another reason for my cocktail.
Exactly. So
they'll enjoy some cocktails later. Yeah. Anyway.
Francesca
is introduced to a friend of the Queen's who is a Marquis. Mm. And he is Lord Samaldani. It's getting windy. Eloise feels very uncomfortable in the conversation. She's just standing there off
doing the awkward fan thing that Penelope
made her doing earlier. So funny. I like laughed out loud. Her interviews are so funny to me. She's just so unhinged. I love her. Anyway.
She talks a mile a minute, that's for sure.
She's fantastic though. It's very funny. And so she feels very uncomfortable in this awkward conversation where Penelope and Cressida are fighting over this man.
And this passive aggressive debutante chouette.
And then Penelope's like, oh yeah, I love nature. Grass. I love grass. And he's like, what do you love about grass? And she's like, it's green. And
I was like, so what the fuck, man?
Then Colin, who is off to the side trying to find reasons to hate Debling, other than the fact that he's going after his
wellness. He asks the other guys, well, what do we know about him?
He's trying to get dirt on him.
Isn't he weird?
And they're like, well, he maybe have singular taste, but he has a large fortune. And Colin's like, damn it.
Yeah.
I was looking for a reason to hate him and for Penelope not to marry him, and now I can't give her advice like that. Damn it.
Shit. The wind getting worse.
The wind picks up. Prudence and her husband start making out by a tent and get caught.
In their own special way, we should say.
Yeah, and she pushes them to the ground, which undoes one of the balloon's ropes, and it's to get swept away.
All he cares about is, how's my ensemble?
How's
my ensemble? It's like, oh my God, are you serious?
Love him. He's funny. Anyway, Colin springs into action and grabs the rope to pull the balloon back and gets help from the other guy.
He's like the only guy who doesn't have a cravat on, so you can kind of see a little bit of
his pirate
chest.
Colin. He doesn't need
pirate
a cravat.
Colin.
And he's in his full pirate garb. He's already taken off his coat. He doesn't have to worry about it.
What's up, Tom?
Arms.
Penelope is staring at him like, oh my God, Colin.
The thing is, like, Cressida and Eloise notice that the balloon is starting to head their way. Like, it's starting to, like, pull their way because of the wind,
right?
Which would flatten them like a pancake. And so they start running away. Lord Debling walks away with them. Penelope just stands there looking at Colin, and she's like, boom! And then she has arms! She doesn't even think about the fact that there's a balloon cascading towards her. And then she finally comes to her senses, and she's just like, oh shit! And she starts running away,
and
she trips, probably on her own dress, because her dress is long, and she trips, she falls to the ground, the balloon's still coming towards her. Debling notices, he runs towards her and covers her with his own body, which is very sweet.
It is.
And the But Colin's able to like make the balloons stop before anything happens to them. It gets very, very close though. Mm-hmm. However, there's one thing I would change. I like this, but the one thing I would change is Colin noticing that Penelope's in the line of fire even more.
Yeah,
I think would be, make him like redouble his efforts or something like that. Because if it was just like going towards a lake, like that's one thing. It's going towards the person that he's starting to love.
Right.
I think that we need to capitalize on that.
We do see that, and they do make eye contact afterwards.
Oh, afterwards, yes.
And there are all these girls like swarming Colin, and he's like, all he can do, the only person he's looking at is Penelope, who's been helped by Devlin. And of course, then Cresta like fakes an ankle injury to get Devlin's attention.
Oh no, a rope hit me. It's like, no,
please, you fucking liar. And Eloise is just sitting like, I'm disgusted. I can't, I don't know what to do.
And Penelope flops on her bed again.
Oh, poor
as we go to the Innovations Ball, Cheap Thrills, the quartet version plays. That's not the song, though. Anyway. Benedict is tells Francesca, yeah, you're my human shield for the night, so I don't have to talk to any other debutantes. And Francesca's like, okay. But I love seeing that he has an interaction with Francesca, which nobody else has had for a while now.
Right. It's Francesca. She is not, and we've got to be grateful, she is not in the woods with a vest on. She is
without a vest on.
Without a vest on.
Eloise and Colin have made up, but he's caught up in his own thoughts, and he's like, men can be pensive. And she's like, okay. Violet drops her glove and a random man picks it up and gives it back to her. She's like, okay,
interested.
So can I say this one line?
Yes.
Okay, so Portia and Penelope and the rest of the family are coming in, and this man, an innovator, is showing off this lamp. And he's like, Lady Featherington, may I present what people call a lamp? And she's like, no, it's just funny. I love her.
I will say this: the actress who plays Portia, she was on. No,
we watched her in something recently, and we were surprised it was her.
Yeah, no, that she was much younger then. But I was thinking about the Roman. What was it? It's some show about Romans, and she was like one of the Caesar's wives in that, and she is. She is a Caesar's wife. She is definitely like someone who's going to kill your ass. And she is awesome. She is really awesome as an actress. So I recognize that she's been kind of a villain and a bad thing.
But she's so fun.
She's super fun. So we also have
Cresta.
The cowboys are talking about money. The girls are swarming Colin. He sees Penelope alone. Well,
they're talking about money in...
Like, because she needs to get a guy.
She needs to get a guy because the Lord Cowper is trying to control his wife and daughter decreasing their allowance.
Right. So Penelope sees Lord Devlin. She starts making a move to him. Cressida basically races to him and gets there first.
Mm-hmm.
Eloise sees that she goes to talk to other debutantes, but they're all talking about, oh, what are you going to wear for your wedding? It's like, you're not even engaged, people. Like, yeah, shut really. The fuck up.
Slow
she's
roll.
So disgusted. Like, she doesn't even know what to do with herself. Francesca and the Queen's Lord have a conversation, and she's they talk about what they want, and he says, oh, the thing we have most in common is that we both have 7 siblings. And she's like, yeah, I kind of want to get away from all that, I like quiet. And he's like, oh, I'm just the opposite, I want 8 kids, I want constant chatter. And she's like, yeah, I gotta go outside for a minute.
Yeah, I need some air.
And she goes outside to the drive. And
no, before no, that.
I don't care about the before that. Go ahead.
Too bad. Bye. Violet talks to the man from before who got her glove. And they talk about their children leaving the nest and all that
that's
stuff.
That's after. No, it's not.
And Lady Danbury introduces him as her brother, Marcus.
Okay. And she goes to stay in the drive.
Then Francesca goes outside to enjoy the quiet, and a man joins her. And we know immediately knew who this man was.
Because of course, it is John. John Sterling is the guy.
Lord Kilmartin.
Yes, the Earl of Kilmartin.
The first husband.
The first husband. And he comes in and he's like, And he says, look, I've been looking for quiet all night. Can we just enjoy the silence together? And they both stand there very quietly for a while. Then Francesca, you know, she's glancing at him. She's very surprised that somebody else can be quiet because she's so used to this constant chatter and like the need to make small talk, which she just hates.
I read a little mini part of an article that the actress Hannah Dodd, who plays Francesca, was talking about how much why Francesca likes John so much, and it's because he doesn't want her to change herself to like talk to him. He wants to do what she wants to do, and they can be themselves around each other without even having to make a sound. It's very, very sweet.
It is a sweet idea. Of course, you don't know unless somebody talks to you like what their interests are. Yeah, them being themselves.
Really. And they do have a conversation later, eventually. But
yeah,
we'll get to it.
Anyway, so but Francesca, she glances at him and she's very pleased that he can actually be quiet. And then she's excuses herself, steps away. Benedict finds the woman from the balloon thing.
Her name is Lady Tilly Arnold.
Yes, and she is and he's like, oh, well, you're actually impressed by me? She's like, I'm impressed that you like pulled this balloon in. Well done. I know who you are, Benedict Bruton. And she's like, I'm all for brute strength and I'm a widow. I'm not after you, whatever. They dance in the center of the room. They
in a different awesome. Way than everybody else.
Yeah, and they are like into it. It is actually very sweet. It's the first real normal debutante ball thing we've seen Benedict do.
I also I think I was again. I watched so many interviews, but one of the interviews was that
really, like okay.
One of their interviews was guessing the like cover of the song that was playing, uh-huh. And he mentioned that during one of their dance scenes one of his dance scenes with Tilly. There's a cover of Promiscuous Girl playing, which I was listening for, and I was disappointed that they didn't. But no, I kind of wish it was that.
What was the one they did?
I don't know what it was.
No, it's not that. Oh crap! No.
Yeah, I don't know what it was in this moment. Anyway, they flirt back and forth with innuendos. She's a widow, and they dance differently from the rest. Will is tending to his club, and a lord shows up, and Will's like,
Lord
I'm
Garrett.
I'm what?
Lord Garrett.
Whatever. And he's just like, oh yeah, I'm excited for that hunt that I've been invited to.
That's
and
Will.
Yes, Will says that. And the guy is just like, oh well, if you're part of society, you can't run a club. You can't work. And Will's like, okay. Like, okay, what? Okay.
Can't I do whatever I want? And the guy says, no, you can't.
Yeah.
There are actual rules about this shit. And so we then go back to Penelope. Penelope is alone. She sees Colin talking to the girls because, of course, they're like drilling all over him. And he says something to the girls about his courage. You know,
courage being within us all.
And it's possible to do anything if you only make the effort, if you only like get in touch with your own feelings.
Yeah, Colin.
Yeah, Colin. So Penelope then, she overhears this. She's like, yeah, I'm going to go talk to
him. I don't
know
if she overhears it, but.
She goes and she tells him the truth. She's honest with him. She describes that she's like, I'm not a naturalist. I'm not an outdoorsy girl.
I don't like grass.
I don't like grass.
Also, okay. There are a few things.
Looking out from a window.
Yeah, there are a few things that she says. First of all, he is getting Crested Lemonade at this point.
Right.
And she is honest about what she actually likes. She likes society, gossip, books, the indoors, watching birds from the window sill. And that comes back into play next episode. He's okay with the fact that they aren't exactly alike and wants somebody who knows who they are and embraces their own peculiarities, which is really sweet.
He is charmed. And he actually, he says he doesn't want a twin. Basically.
Yeah, you don't want a twin.
Right. He wants somebody who's different from himself. He hands her the lemonade that he was getting for
Crested.
Yeah, they start like drinking lemonade and talking, and Crested is on the across the room, and she's sad, and Eloise approaches, and Crested's like, he's going to come over, and Eloise is like, oh, maybe not. And it's okay. Colin, of course, is also watching, and as he's watching, Violet approaches him, and Colin asks her, what is it you want for Francesca? Like, of course, you know, he's really talking about himself, and Violet starts to pick up on, hey, he's really talking about himself.
Can I just say that kind of thing reminds me of season one, Daphne,
yes,
talking to Colin about the Marina situation and her being like, yeah, you shouldn't keep secrets, should you? And he's like, this isn't about me, is it?
It's like, no.
And so, now he's becoming the Daphne of the situation.
Right. So Colin, asks, and what Violet says is like, I want passion, I want love, I want all those things. And Colin's like, well, didn't you always tell us that friendship is the greatest basis for a relationship? She's like, yes,
true,
but
it is true.
It is very rare for a relationship to start as friends. I mean, because you can develop a friendship within the
relationship,
right?
Oh,
so,
sure.
So, but what she says is very rare to start as friends. And then
build
to more. And he's like, well, how did you and Dad know? Because you and Dad had that. And she's like, yeah. Well, he's like, how did you know it was reciprocated? And she's like, because your father had the courage to ask. And he's like, well, and then he looks right at Penelope. And he's like, well, I hope Francesca has the courage to ask. Like, you dumbass.
No, and then Violet's like, yes, I hope she does. Yeah,
I hope she does. Go get him, boy.
Go get her, boy.
So he crosses the room and...
Okay, so he crosses the room and Penelope's like, oh, Colin, hi. And she's in a really good mood because Doubling seems to like her again.
Yeah.
And then Colin is just staring really intensely at her. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, what's going on? And then he is just like, oh, I have a question for you. And she's just like, okay.
She kind of like stops breathing.
For yeah, she's like, what the fuck is happening?
Oh my God.
And then before he asks, Doubling shows up for a dance with Penelope. And Penelope's just looking at Colin like, okay, I guess I'll go dance with Doubling. And so she dances with Doubling.
And Colin watches with tears in his eyes. Yes. It is the look on Luke Newton's face is fantastic.
It took so much for him to build up to actually asking her about this friendship question.
That, and then Lord Doubling snatches
and
his
cup watch. It's like,
yeah. Like, God damn it.
So the song that you mentioned is I Don't Relate to You is the song that they're dancing by Billie
Eilish.
And the dance is really fun and you can see that Penelope is really enjoying it.
But I think that it's rare.
Because here,
can I say the song is perfect for the situation because they don't relate to each other. Doubling and Penelope don't relate to each other, but they can be like, okay, I can appreciate and respect you.
Right. So part of what I love about this scene there is that up until this point, most guys don't ask Penelope to dance, right? Other than Colin. So Colin's never been on the outside of watching Penelope dance and have a good time. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, I don't get to be the guy that gives this to her.
I can be the one who makes her that happy.
Yeah. And he's kind of like, I
don't like it.
I should be that guy.
It should be me.
It should be me.
And I also, I'm so curious what he actually was going to ask her because, like, are you doing this in the middle of a ball?
Yeah, I think he probably was.
Honestly, knowing Colin, probably.
Probably. I mean, you know, they've been kind of direct with each other, which is, again, one of the advantages of friendship. But, you know, there you go.
Oh, I love friends to lovers.
Oh, so okay. So what are your best parts? Because that's the episode.
Yes. Wet dream. The family noticing Colin's awkwardness, especially Benedict being like, congratulations, are you okay? and then Colin's awkwardness / jealous Colin. I love it so much.
I love all
him being awkward around Penelope and him trying to find reasons to hate Doubling so he could like tell Penelope to stay away from him, and then obviously him being jealous and like that look on his face at the end is so good. Let me see. Francesca and John, I like a lot. Benedict is very funny.
Yeah.
Him using Lady Danbury and Francesca as human shield is very funny to me. And Violet's advice.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I write down, obviously, is Colin. Because Colin has such growth in this episode. It is really fascinating. And I do, the wet dream thing was actually part of the whole Anthony and Kate thing. That kind of thing was part of their story in the book. I had missed it last season. Quite honestly, there was just not enough sex.
But there was also like a perfect opportunity for it to be like Edwina, and then it changes to Kate, and then it's like, oh!
It's all just... Season two, in our opinion, was not as satisfying. Mm-hmm. So we have that with Colin and Penelope, and so Colin gets that scene. He has all of the awkwardness and development. Luke Newton is doing such amazing job with this performance. It is really lovely. I love Penelope Blooming. And of course, Nicole Coughlin is fabulous. She is just doing this kind of like coming into her own thing, despite the fact that she keeps getting battered.
Yeah, and saying, fuck it. I'm going to be myself. And that helps her. Right. Being yourself helps you.
Right. But the reward is that Lord Doubling, who's a decent guy, which is a rarity in this group because there are a lot of shitheads in the ton, I got to tell you. But Lord Doubling being a decent guy and seeing it and saying it, which is, you know, again, that is a double whammy right there, but she gets that encouragement. And so that's really fabulous. I of course, love Benedict. I love Violet. Because again, here's somebody who's like really aware of what's going on with her kids. So those are my best parts. I didn't say the Francesca and John thing just because I do find them a bit meh. So go ahead.
Yeah, I just
I think they look good together. Anyway, they look good together, and I also think that it's nice. It was a refreshing thing for Francesca to see that there can be someone like her that likes her for her.
Yeah. Although, I'm going to say this because I'm really kind of sick of seeing this online, that I don't think that it means that she has some sort of autistic something.
Some people are saying she's on the spectrum. That's not confirmed by anything. I'm not going to interact with that notion.
Okay.
Anyway, the worst parts, mean men at the party for saying that shit to Penelope. Yeah. What the fuck? Like, who does that? Like, she's trying to make polite conversation, and then he's just like, okay, well, we're not going to be your conquests. It's like, okay, whoa.
Yeah, you've heard of mean girls. These are mean boys. Guys. No, mean boys. Mean men. They are boys, Natalie. They are boys.
Children.
Children.
The pettiness between Penelope and Cresta. I didn't like that. Obviously, you had to see Penelope lowering herself to Cresta's level in a way, which she noticed in herself and was just immediately like, I don't like that in me. I don't like that I'm doing
but
that.
But she owned it with Lord Jebra.
And that made him like her. and I like that is part of that. That's all I had, really, actually.
Worst parts were Cresta. The Featheringtons generally being weird because, like,
they're funny.
They're funny, but it's like
whatever. That one line from Portia really was. They brought them out of the worst parts.
So society's anti-work stance. I just find that.
Oh yeah, that's annoying. Stupid.
It's like stupid. I hate the mean boys. So that was pretty much it. What grade did you give this episode?
A-.
I had B plus A minus.
I had B plus originally, and then I changed it to A minus.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
There you go.
All right, so A minus, we are having a big time with the first section of season 3. And I will say this, I feel like it has been worth the wait.
That it has been definitely worth the
wait. Yeah, because
they're not wasting their fucking time.
I don't know what was going on with season 2. It didn't feel rushed, it just felt.
And in fact, it felt really slow.
Yeah, so
which is disappointing.
Well, but I think they took their time in actually writing real dialogue for this, and really thinking through how these things would intersect. And so I see that developing a lot better. I see that being fleshed out a lot better. And I'm really enjoying season 3. Now, I do hope that we don't have to wait for fucking ever for season 4, but we shall see.
Hopefully not as long, because there was a strike in the middle of that.
That's
that
true.
Did delay things.
That's
hopefully.
True. But we are really looking forward to sharing that. And I know somebody who's watched it now 8,000 fucking
times.
Okay.
And
episode 4 is coming. And of course, then we have a little bit of a break, and we're hoping to do some Dairy Girls in the middle of that. Until we get to the rest of season 3. But we hope that you join us. And
cheers.